Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Jed Crasher. And Jed is here to talk about the Common Council vote in City Hall last night over the trash fee. Jed, overall, how are you feeling today? And tell our listening audience, what was the outcome?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll start with the outcome. The outcome was the 8 members on the council decided to uphold the trash fee, and the 2 members were absent, council members Conti and Appliers, 5 members, that includes myself, council members Canisso, O'Brien, Bailey, and Robinson voted to repeal, to get rid of the trash tax. In the end, the mayor's majority yet again prevailed. And so how am I feeling? I'm feeling a combination of disappointment because this is something that is going to have a very bad impact on many people that I represent in the 11th Ward. I think it's going to have a very bad impact on this entire city. And at the same time, though, I know that I and the other council members who joined me in voting to get rid of this tax did the right thing. And we had the facts, reality, and the people, the vast majority of the people were on our side. It's just the reality, the political reality of the Common Council that we have a majority of the council that represents the will of the mayor and not the will of the people they represent.
Now, I listened to all of the people who got up and spoke, and there was maybe just 1 or 2 people that sided mm-hmm. with the trash tax, and the majority wanted to see it repealed. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and that went on for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
After the hour and a half, and people, the Common Council voted, and they voted not to repeal this, and they sided
yep.
with Mayor Sheehan.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they take into consideration what everybody who spoke said and the importance of it? I mean, it just boggles my mind.
Well, it boggles my mind too. And this is not the first time that there's been an issue where you've had a ton of people at public comment, the vast majority of those individuals speaking a particular way, and the mayor's majority on the council voting to the contrary. It's an unfortunate situation that we have in city government right now. We have incredibly flawed policies coming out of this administration, and we have a Common Council that refuses, absolutely refuses, to in any way put a check on the mayor's office. And that was underscored and highlighted last night in a really profound way.
Were you surprised at the outcome?
Well, I guess I would be, it would be fair to call me naive if I said I was surprised, but on this particular issue, given how glaringly discriminatory the trash tax is against renters and against certain areas of our city, I was hopeful that this would be the one instance where members, particularly those members who represent wards that would be most impacted by this tax, would say, okay, this is a terrible direction to take the city in. This is a terrible precedent to set, that precedent being it's okay to balance the city's budget on the backs of middle class and low-income earning families. I was hopeful that that would be the case, but yet again, even in a situation like this, where it was so glaring how awful this policy was, the mayor's majority stayed strong and sustained the fee. So in that regard, I am shocked that so many council members voted contrary to the interests of their wards. It is very disappointing.
Well, the contention in today's paper, the argument is that you did not offer an alternative to this trash tax. How do you answer that question?
Yeah, that's a lie. That's also a lot of nonsense. The reality is this: there have been several plans that the city has paid for through private consultants to look at waste collection, and they have been literally collecting dust for years. Those plans, generally speaking, they get us to pay as you throw. So paying for garbage as you, non-recyclable garbage as you produce it, as you throw it out. So the plans have already been created. It is such a lie by the administration, and it is such a lie by the council majority when they made that argument to say, I wasn't offering a replacement. Well, I don't need to offer a replacement because we already have plans that we paid for that get us to pay as you throw. The other argument kind of similar to that was, and that Leah Golby, who made horrendous arguments, I think offensive arguments, I think out of touch arguments with respect to our middle class and low income families, said that, well, this gets us closer to pay as you throw. And it's just patently false. I mean, it's a flat fee of $180 a unit for 2, 3, and 4 unit homes, not based on anything other than the fact that they're 2, 3, and 4 unit homes. I mean, it looks nothing like pay as you throw. As a matter of fact, the plans that have already been produced specifically caution the city to avoid being onerous on our low-income earning families. And when this fee was being first peddled by the administration, I pushed hard to get in protections for low-income families. And some exemptions were put in for seniors on Enhanced STAR, for example. But the reality is that the council shrugged their shoulders and said, well, it's too late. It literally said it's really too late, and it'll be way too complicated to protect all low-income families, so this is the best we can do. I mean, truly terrible policymaking by the body that is charged with policymaking in the city, supposedly.
Now, Councilwoman Kathy Fahey was saying she voted against the repeal, and she said that the repeal might jeopardize the $12.5 million that we will probably get from the state. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, I don't know where these members on the council get their information from. I wonder sometimes if they are living in an alternate universe. The reality is that there's no evidence, none, that the trash tax has any tie whatsoever to Albany getting $12.5 million from New York State. There is simply no evidence of it. So for any member, Kathy Fahey included, to make that argument is a flat-out fear tactic that is not based in fact. It's a way to scare people into thinking that we have to have this in order to get the huge amount of 12.5 million. It's just false. I mean, she and others might as well have gotten up there and said and insisted that the sky is green. I mean, it's just so contrary to reality. It is mind-boggling.
Tell our listening audience a little bit about the robocalls that were made before the vote.
The robocalls. Cindy, I have to say you got me there. I know that there were robocalls made during the first vote on the initial legislation to authorize the fee. I was not aware of any robocalls that went out for the repeal vote. So that's new information to me.
It's my understanding that robocalls were made over the weekend to kind of dissuade the members from voting for the repeal.
That I did not know that, Cynthia. That is brand new to me. I do know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I will certainly look into that. I do know, though, that the mayor's former chief of staff,
right,
Matt Peter, made at least one phone call. I think it's safe to say more, but on the record, caught making at least one phone call to a particular labor union, the blue collar union.
That was it.
Got it. So that wasn't a robocall. Those were live calls being made by the mayor's former chief of staff and now executive director of the Albany Parking Authority. What they tried to do, what the mayor's chief of staff, former chief of staff, tried to do was to get blue-collar workers, which includes our sanitation workers, to show up and speak against the repeal. And guess how many showed up? Zero. Why? Two reasons. One, this administration treats our blue-collar workers horrifically, absolutely horrifically, and it's a travesty. Secondly, this tax, because our blue-collar workers are making $30,000, $40,000 a year, these are not high-paid city employees. Many of them are renters. This is a tax that would have affected the same people that Matt Peter tried to get out to speak in favor of the tax. I mean, when the blue-collar union has tried to approach the city over grievances and to get their contracts settled, they've been ignored by Matt Peter. They've been ignored by Kathy Sheehan. But yet when they needed something because they were desperate for someone from the public to speak in favor of their ridiculous trash fee, then they cynically call the blue-collar union. It was pathetic.
It astounds me that there's no creativity in this administration at all. Did you get any reassurances from the 8 members who supported the mayor that they might support you?
Yep, I did. And they, in the end, when the vote came, they clearly did not vote the right way, or as I saw it, the right way. They stuck with the mayor. I go back to what I said earlier, is that it is so heartbreaking, really, to see officials vote so contrary to the interests of the people they represent. It's really unfortunate. So you have a council that represents the mayor instead of the people.
It is astounding.
It is. It leaves one speechless, Cynthia. It really does. And this one was, as I said, so glaring. it was so glaring that it targets certain areas of the city and certain people in the city. And yet, even then, when it is so crystal clear, still the mayor's majority says we're going to stick with the mayor's policies. I have the same reaction, which is being, you know, my jaw's on the floor, just stunned.
Now, Jed, you know, it's only been less than 24 hours since the vote. My one question is, if it had passed and the mayor vetoed it, what would have happened then?
Well, the mayor would have, I mean, in that case, the mayor would have vetoed the will of the council, but also, more importantly, the will of the people, the will of the vast majority of the people in the city of Albany. But that wouldn't be surprising. I mean, the mayor said out the gate that she would defend her fee and that she would stick up for her fee, that she believes in her fee. She believes that the fee is the right thing to do. So she is going to fight for it. I've never seen the mayor fight for anything as hard as she has for the trash tax. So a veto was to be expected if the council decided to pass the repeal. With that said, though, in the event the mayor decided to veto, I would fight very hard to override that veto. It would have required 10 votes to do that, but the mayor was able to, again, make use of her controlled majority in the council to get her way, into the people's way.
Where do you go from here?
I think that such a spotlight was shown on the dysfunction in City Hall and how broken government is, and that this administration, the bill of goods that this administration ran on prior to Kathy Sheehan taking office as mayor were all inaccurate. And the trash fee debate puts such emphasis on it and such attention on it. And I think that moving forward, as we are approaching 2017, where every single city office is up for election, I believe that we need new leadership in the city. We need a vastly different common council to make Albany work for everyone.
So on that note, I will say, as we approach 2017, and as the dust clears, Jed, I would love to have you back on the show to share your political thoughts on what's going to transpire.
Anytime, Cynthia.
Thank you. You've been listening to Jed Crasher on Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and share your thoughts on Twitter, hashtag Focus on Albany. Jed, that was really profiles and courage.
Thank you.
Many people would not have had the courage to do what you did.
Thank you.